content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The gala is coming September 9th. From the American Printing House, ready for a Braille revolution. From Forbes, a Gmail security warning bug. From Futurism, dyslexia equals special powers. From Glamour, TSA is not scanning boarding passes. From NBC, airport installs mock cabin to help flyers with disabilities. From CBS, sheer fear and panic. So let's get started. From the NCRS, there shall be eternal summer in the grateful heart. Quote by Celia Thaxter, Thaxter. Gala tickets now available. 2022 New Visions Gala, celebrating a brighter future, benefiting the North Carolina Reading Service. Event September 9th, 2022. Please join us on Friday, September 9th, 2022 at the Hilton Raleigh North Hills for our biggest fundraiser of the year. The evening will include a cocktail hour, a New Visions showcase, demonstrating technology available for people who are blind and print impaired, dinner, silent auction, and keynote speaker, author, and NCRS volunteer, Mike Elliott. For more information about the gala, please click on the hot link. Your ticket purchase will help us reach our goal of $50,000 so we can continue providing quality programming throughout North Carolina for our blind and print impaired listeners. Tickets are $125 each and can be purchased online with Visa or MasterCard at the hot link. To purchase tickets by check, please mail checks payable to North Carolina Reading Service, 211 East Six Forks Road, Suite 103, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27609. We look forward to seeing you there. Tar Heel Traveler to feature NCRS. On June 15th, Scott Mason, host of WRAL's Tar Heel Traveler program, visited NCRS to record a segment about the NCRS. Scott discussed the reading service with our executive director, May Tran, and videoed and recorded our Wednesday morning volunteer readers, Bob Kruger and Jean Latshaw, hard at work. This segment on Tar Heel Traveler is scheduled to air sometime in July. Welcome, new volunteers. NCRS would like to welcome all our new volunteers and all our wonderful volunteer trainers and regular readers who helped us pivot and regroup with our volunteer training program. Thank you for making our newest volunteers feel welcome. Thank you. NCRS would like to thank our platinum sponsor, the Orchid Group at Morgan Stanley, bronze sponsor, SHIIP, and copper sponsors, Disability Rights NC and Springmore Retirement Community, for their support of our 2022 New Visions Gala. NCRS Board of Directors, Greg Suggs, President, Iris Green, Vice President, Sharon Benton, Secretary, Jim Cronin, Treasurer, Joe Austin, Daryl Gordon, Brandon Hare, Craig Hayward, Robert Parrish, Patricia Sykes, Jennifer Walker, past president George Douglas, co-founders Ben Eason, deceased, Dr. Ed Funkhauser. Contact NCRS staff, May Tran, executive director, may@ncreadingservice.org, Missy Hollander, production and volunteer manager, missy@ncreadingservice.org, Janet Schanzenbach, director of development, janet@ncreadingservice.org. From APH.org, APH is ready for a Braille revolution. Posted July 6, 2021, we're on a mission to create a groundbreaking electronic Braille text and graphics device that revolutionizes Braille learning and accessibility. By Ann Durham, D-U-R-H-A-M, Vice President and Chief Officer, Innovation and Strategy. You undoubtedly heard the big splash in 2017 when we introduced our plans for the Graffiti, a dynamic multi-level tactile display. All of us here vividly remember the day of the solar eclipse that year when people who are visually impaired were able to touch the sun with their hands using the device. But through that development process, we learned that we can and must do even more. Graffiti would have been used side by side with a Braille text textbook. But now, in partnership with HumanWare, we're developing what we consider the holy grail of Braille, a single tablet device that provides both Braille text and tactile graphics all in one. We have a vision, we're on a mission, and we're firmly committed. This revolutionary new dynamic Braille device will put information at the fingertips of people who are blind or visually impaired more efficiently than ever, skyrocketing Braille literacy and accessibility at the same time. We will level the playing field for students who can receive Braille instructional materials at the touch of a download button instead of waiting weeks or months for embossed Braille textbooks to be transcribed and shipped. Rather than having to constantly catch up with their sighted classmates, students who are visually impaired can learn at the same pace, a significant educational equalizer. Although Braille transcription and digital conversion will still be required, chapters can be delivered one by one as soon as they're ready. What's more, instead of other Braille readers that scroll text one line at a time, the new dynamic tactile device will display full pages of Braille text, graphics, and even Braille music. Beyond the benefits to Braille readers, teachers of visually impaired students, TVIs, will no longer have to improvise, often on the spot, to give their students the same access to visual learning tools as their sighted classmates. No more etching graphics into styrofoam plates or cobbling together household objects. Students with vision loss can refer to the exact same materials as their sighted peers, either through a download or by connecting the device to a computer to display the desktop. They can even connect it to a digital microscope for a tactile representation of what their sighted classmates are seeing. Outside the classroom, the device will improve employment opportunities and retention rates, opening avenues to careers that never existed before. Parents will be able to feel the ultrasound of their baby. Any space that must be compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, can use the device for signage, menus, and other materials. We're confident we'll discover even more benefits as we continue developing this product. This certainly isn't something APH can do alone. We're excited about our unique 50-50 partnership with HumanWare, a trusted developer we've already created many Braille products with, including the Chameleon 20 and the Mantis Q40. This kind of public-private partnership will allow them to do what they do best, develop the highly specialized technology, while APH focuses on what we do best, research, testing, and getting the device into the hands of those who need it. Developing this new and elegant device is going to take at least a couple of years. There's a great deal of work to do because it will be quieter, faster, and more durable than any of its predecessors. Most of all, it will be reliable. We also have to create an electronic Braille-ready format, an eBRF, to work with the device, and we have to get everyone around the world to agree on this electronic Braille standard we're innovating. The initial response has been positive, which is encouraging. We have some of the best and brightest minds on this project, with working teams and committees devoted to every aspect of bringing this product to market. And we want as many experts as possible to get involved, programmers, engineers, beta testers, and more. Anyone interested in participating can contact APH's Director of Global Innovation, Greg Stilson, at gstilson@aph.org. We will be sharing our progress with all of you, every step of the way. This is your device, and we can't build it without you. When we first started working on this project, we were told it couldn't be done. The technological, business, and standard challenges are indeed daunting. But together with our partners and a unified effort across the field, we will make this happen. And it is truly going to be a Braille revolution for people of all ages. We could not be more excited or more committed to this new dynamic tactile device. And we can't wait until the day when this goal is achieved. Watch the world change with us. We look forward to working with you. From Forbes.com, sender warning issued for millions of Google Gmail users. Article by Gordon Kelly, posted at 7:57 a.m. Eastern Time, July 12th. Google has confirmed a bizarre new bug affecting all Gmail users, where the service issues a sender warning for every email received. Here's everything you need to know. The bug first struck on Thursday, with Gmail attaching a security notice reserved for suspect emails to everything that arrives in a recipient's inbox. On Friday, Google subsequently confirmed that the problem had spread more widely than first believed and affects both Gmail consumers and enterprise customers. The notice reads, "Do you want to continue receiving messages from this sender? Emphasis Gmails. Please give us feedback about this message. We won't ask you about this sender again, although you can always unsubscribe and mark it as spam in the future." Under normal circumstances, Gmail only attaches this message to emails where the service has doubts about the sender, hence flagging it as a potential security risk that you may wish to move to spam. So seeing it arrive en masse, attached to new emails, could quite understandably cause concern. In its latest update, Google reports, "Our engineering team has identified the root cause, prevented any further affected messages, and continues to work on removing the labels from the emails that have this incorrect banner." Google states that it will provide a further update on the problem over the weekend. In the meantime, be diligent and do not blindly dismiss all notification warnings attached to your emails in case you whitelist any actual spam or phishing attempts. July 11th update. Google has published a new update for the problem, saying it has now been fixed. The problem with Gmail has been resolved. We apologize for the inconvenience and thank you for your patience and continued support. Author's note, I have been tracking user responses to the issue and have noticed some saying they still see notices. That said, it is impossible to know whether these have been applied to emails that were a genuine concern. It may also be that while incoming emails are no longer being incorrectly flagged, not all the banners incorrectly applied to existing emails have been removed yet for every user. I will continue to monitor the responses on social media and forums and update if I find any signs of ongoing concerns. July 12th update. I have done some digging over the last 24 hours and spoken to several of the users of social media and forums who mentioned they were having problems with Gmail sender warnings after Google claimed the problem was fixed. The good news is the vast majority of these were erroneous, coming from users who had experienced the problem but were writing about it, unaware that the issue was fixed. There were exceptions, but Gmail will sometimes mislabel a safe email as a potentially suspicious one by mistake, something that users appeared to be conflating with the widespread error that struck at the end of last week. As such, from all that I can see, the problem is now resolved. That said, I would reiterate my warning that you should not become numb to these banner warnings just because of the fault. Gmail's spam detection filter is one of the best, and sophisticated phishing attempts will often try and mimic genuine senders, so stay vigilant. From Futurism.com, dyslexia actually grants special powers, researchers say. The deficit-centered view of dyslexia isn't telling the whole story. Article by Lonnie Lee Hood. As much as 20% of the global population could actually be better at exploration and curiosity, according to a new study published this week. A team of Cambridge scientists published research in the journal Frontiers of Psychology earlier that raises the possibility that dyslexia, which affects an estimated 1 in 5 people worldwide, could actually help the human species adapt and ensure future success. The deficit-centered view of dyslexia isn't telling the whole story, lead author Helen Taylor said in a statement accompanying the paper. This research proposes a new framework to help us better understand the cognitive strengths of people with dyslexia. As of now, the World Federation of Neurology defines dyslexia as a disorder in children who, despite conventional classroom experience, fail to attain the language skills of reading, writing, and spelling commensurate with their intellectual abilities. Yet Taylor's team thinks the condition might actually have an evolutionary upside, giving some individuals strengths at seeking out new information about the world instead of reinterpreting information that's already been mapped out. The explorative bias associated with dyslexia, they argue, may have played a crucial role in our species' survival. Taylor said that although there are challenges for people with dyslexia, the benefits outweigh them if only society would view the cognitive parameters of the condition differently. We believe that the areas of difficulty experienced by people with dyslexia result from a cognitive trade-off between the exploration of new information and exploitation of existing knowledge, with the upside being an explorative bias that could explain enhanced abilities observed in certain realms, like discovery, invention, and creativity, Taylor said in the statement. Looking at the world differently can't be a bad thing, and many cultures throughout human history have looked at disability in a profoundly different way. If the research holds up, let's hope we learn to put all that creativity to use as soon as possible. From Glamour.com, TSA is no longer scanning boarding passes at these airports. Article by Jessica Puckett, posted June 28th. Many airline passengers equate summer travel with snaking lines at airport security. But this year, TSA is adding new technology to speed along even the most congested checkpoints. One such piece of equipment, called a credential authentication technology, CAT scanner, is programmed to automatically match travelers' ID information to flight manifests. In short, travelers at dozens of U.S. airports no longer need to show their boarding passes to TSA officers, eliminating one more item that flyers need to scramble for in order to get through security. The scanners can digitally process a traveler's ID and match their biographical information like name and birth date against the secure flight database in real time. There's no need for a boarding pass at this point, since the secure flight database contains the names and flight details for people ticketed to travel in the next 24 hours. Lori Dankers, D-A-N-K-E-R-S, a TSA spokesperson, said in an email. Instead, travelers will either hand over their ID to the TSA officer at the podium or insert it into the machine themselves, depending on the airport. Many travelers may have already noticed the new ID process, as the agency says it has so far deployed 1,621 CAT scanners to 176 airports. Among those, 90 scanners are modified and equipped to read and verify digital identification, says a TSA release. Both large international airports and smaller regional facilities alike are utilizing the new scanner equipment, including Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, Boston Logan International Airport, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Los Angeles International Airport, Chicago's O'Hare and Midway Airports, both airports in Washington, D.C., and New York's John F. Kennedy and LaGuardia Airports, plus dozens of others. The machines can read driver's licenses, passports, and passport cards, trusted traveler IDs like global entry cards, permanent resident cards, and many more. TSA has a full list of accepted IDs on its website. The expansion of the CAT machines comes as other private companies, like Apple, are also working on new innovations for airport security. The tech juggernaut recently launched a partnership with TSA, whereby passengers at select airports can upload their state-issued IDs to the Apple Wallet app and swipe through the checkpoint using their iPhone or Apple Watch. So far, the program is available for TSA PreCheck passengers at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, Baltimore Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport, and Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. American Airlines also began a TSA partnership this month that allows its passengers with a frequent flyer account and TSA PreCheck to use a mobile device to verify their identity at the airport. To use the program, flyers download the Airside Digital Identity app to an iOS or Android device, take a photo of their face, scan their driver's license or passport, and enter their AAdvantage frequent flyer number. The app generates a QR code that users present to the TSA officer, and then they look into a camera at the podium. TSA's technology matches the airport photo against the app's mobile ID information. American Airlines says the whole process takes approximately 5 seconds. Images captured by the TSA are encrypted and deleted after verification. The mobile ID program is available at all PreCheck lines at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, with plans on expanding to Miami International Airport, Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport, Washington Reagan National Airport, and potentially others later this year. By simplifying the identity verification process and other points at the airport, we're helping our customers exchange stress for convenience and saved time, and propelling the travel industry further along the path to a truly seamless customer experience. Julie Rath, American's VP of Customer Experience, Loyalty, and Marketing, said in a statement. This summer, it seems even small changes could make a big difference given the crush of travelers showing up to airports. TSA recently saw its busiest day since the pandemic began over the Juneteenth holiday weekend, with an estimated 2.44 million people passing through security checkpoints at U.S. airports on Friday, June 17th. from NBCNews.com, in a first, airport installs mock airline cabin to help flyers with disabilities. Travelers with physical, cognitive, and other limitations can build confidence and reduce stress at the mock cabin at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Article posted June 28, 2022. Long delays, rampant cancellations, and packed planes have turned air travel into an endurance sport for even the most seasoned travelers. And the challenges can be even greater for the more than 25 million Americans with disabilities that make travel difficult even in ordinary times. A handful of airports, airlines, and community groups have made an effort to provide certain flyers the opportunity to navigate security, crowded airport terminals, and the boarding process beforehand. But such programs are limited, and the industry continues to have a poor track record in transporting wheelchairs and scooters and providing reliable and consistent service to passengers with additional needs, such as mobility and physical issues, as well as sensory and cognitive disabilities. Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport is out to change that. In an industry first in May, the airport, in partnership with Delta Airlines, installed a mock airplane cabin on site to give flyers with a wide range of special needs an opportunity to become familiar with realistic aircraft cabin. Being able to test out an airplane cabin could help people who have never flown, who use wheelchairs, older adults, people with autism, and anyone who has any reservations about flying, said Eric Lipp, LIPP, executive director of the Open Doors organization, which works with businesses on accessibility issues. It will recognize that everyone's needs are different and encourage more people to fly. In the 2 years preceding the pandemic, nearly 15 million people with disabilities traveled by air, generating $11 billion in revenue for airlines. That was up from $9 billion in 2015, according to a report from the organization. And he said the true economic impact is potentially double, since people with disabilities typically travel with one or more other adults. The 33-foot-long cabin has been used to train Delta's in-flight teams in Atlanta and includes a non-working lavatory and 42 standard coach seats from a retired Boeing 737. Delta shipped it in pieces to the Minneapolis airport, where it was reassembled in an unused retail space. Airport carpenters added cutouts so that every row has a window, and local youth artists painted the cabin and the surrounding walls with blue skies and landscape to make it sensory friendly. My 5-year-old son Remy has autism, and I felt it was important for him to experience the airport before the day we actually had to travel, said Cassandra Welch, who brought him to the mock cabin recently. Remy did well and sat nicely in his seat and was able to see what the cabin looked like and what the airplane bathroom looked like. Welch also brought along her family and some relatives. We will be traveling together in August, so it was great that we could all be there for this experience. Tiffany Owen, a first responder, also wanted to give her traveling companion a chance to get acquainted with flying before she booked a trip. Hazy, a rescue pit bull, is Owen's service dog and helps her manage stress and anxiety. The visit was arranged through Soldiers 6, a local nonprofit group that provides service dogs to military veterans and first responders in Minnesota. I've flown before, but Hazy has never been on an airplane, she said. But Hazy quickly got the hang of it. When we walked in, Hazy wanted to have her own seat next to me, she said. I had to train her to realize she's on an airplane and would be sitting on the floor between my legs. Owen said that it means a lot to her that the airport has gone to great lengths to make sure that both me and my service animal feel comfortable, and that we can go back to the airport again for more training if we need to. The mock cabin, which is free and available by appointment, isn't just for flyers. Airline personnel, flight crews, and companies that provide service to passengers who need help getting to or from their airplane seat have access to the cabin for training, too. The Minneapolis-St. Paul branch of Prospect Airport Services, which provides wheelchair attendant and other services for airlines at airports across the country, now runs weekly staff training sessions in the mock cabin. There is a big focus on transferring passengers in wheelchairs to their seats, which can be a complicated and delicate process. Loretta Halligan, the company's general manager at the Minneapolis airport, said that before the mock cabin arrived, orientation for new passenger service assistants mainly took place in a classroom with a wheelchair, an airline seat, and a video. Actual training in how to transfer passengers didn't begin until new hires could shadow someone with experience. Now, new employees can start practicing lifting a person on and off an aisle chair on a real plane right away, she said, adding that watching a video is nothing compared to having that hands-on experience during your first day of training. That training could have been invaluable during the earlier days of the pandemic, when social distancing made it difficult for people to be lifted and transferred to vehicles or planes, Lip said. Guiding people who are blind also became more difficult with social distancing. Although the mock cabin has been open for just about 2 months, Phil Burke, assistant director of customer service at the airport, says sessions are getting booked up far in advance. He also said airports in Houston, Denver, and Kansas City, Missouri, have been in touch with him and are planning to install mock airline cabins at their terminals, too. From CBSNews.com, sheer fear and panic. Strangers rescue visually impaired man who fell into Boston Harbor with guide dog. Article posted July 11th. Article by CBSBoston.com staff. A man who is visually impaired is looking for the two strangers who jumped into Boston Harbor to save his life. The misstep was captured by Isabella Scott, a TikTok influencer who was walking with her guide dog while shooting video of her fiancé, Ezric Marines, walking with his guide dog just outside the entrance of Fan Pier Park in the seaport. I started shouting, "He can't swim! He can't swim!" because that's the only logical thing I could think of to do at the time, Scott told WBZ. In the panic of the moment, she paused that live feed moments before two Good Samaritans jumped in to rescue her drowning fiancé. "I can't swim to save my life," Marines said. "I had a book bag on. I had my phone in my hand and had the dog in my other hand. Freaking out." The visually impaired couple were in town for a holiday weekend stroll when Ezric and his guide dog Brutus got their signals crossed for a brief moment on the waterfront, and both fell 6 feet into the harbor. "Sheer fear and panic," Marines said. Brutus swam to dry land as two strangers plunged into the water to grab a flailing Ezric, while other passersby and even some TikTok viewers called 911. "They jumped in to rescue somebody they didn't even know," Scott said. "That, to me, is heroic." Isabella is convinced her fiancé would have drowned had those men not been there. But in the aftermath of those crazy moments, the heroes slipped away. "It was so hectic that we didn't get their names because we were rushed into an ambulance," Scott said. "I really want to meet them and thank them from the bottom of my heart," Ezric said. Ezric fell through one of the several spots along that stretch where there's a gap in the guardrail, and the couple believes that's a danger which needs to be addressed, not just for the sight impaired, but also for children and older folks. "I think it would just make it completely safer for families and everyone just to enjoy the park," Scott said. The couple says they were told by EMTs that tumbles into the water along that stretch are not uncommon. The CBS Boston team is a group of experienced journalists who bring you the content on CBSBoston.com. Well, I'm running out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.